You see, the grace of God does not just bring salvation. The grace of God will bring sanctification because you have died to sin. We start a new series. You know what's our new series? Everybody, winning the war within. What does it mean, winning the war within? You know, today there is war all over the place. Ukraine, possible war with China and Taiwan, other countries. But winning the war within is something real. In your heart, right now, in your inner life, I'm sure there is always struggle. Yes or no? There's a war going on. In fact, if you read the book of Romans, chapter 8, chapter 7, it talks about what I like to do, I don't do. What I don't like to do, that's what I do. So there's a war within. How do you win the war within? So let's have a quick review. It begins with chapter 1 to 3, sin. What's our real problem? Sin. And then chapter 3, 4, 5, it gives you the good news, salvation. Our greatest need is forgiveness. He tells you, that's good news. But it does not stop there. Chapter 6, 7, 8 talks about sanctification. In other words, listen to me now, the grace of God brings salvation, but not period. It brings salvation, and then it brings sanctification. Because that is the work of God. He will transform your life. And then, chapter 9 to 11, he talks about the sovereignty of God. How does he do these things? Then he gave Israel as an example. What will happen to the Jews? And then lastly, listen to me, a couple of months from now, you will learn about service. How can we live out righteousness? Okay? Where are we now? Today, where are we? Season number 3. What is season number 3? Winning the war within. It's called sanctification. Episode 1. Today is season number 3, episode 1. Sanctification. Okay, are you ready? Now, what is the difference between salvation and sanctification? I came up with a simple chart to let you understand. Chapter 3, 4, 5 deals with salvation. Chapter 6, 7, 8 deals with sanctification. Salvation first, then sanctification. Don't reverse the order. Don't say, I must be good first, and then I will be saved. No, no, no. Justification comes first. By faith, justification. And then consecration. How do you live your life for Jesus? Salvation is a point in time. A point in time where you are declared not guilty. However, sanctification is a process. It takes time to be Christ-like. Salvation is by grace. It's all the work of God. Sanctification is by grace also. It's all of this is God's work in your life. Salvation deals with what Jesus did for you on the cross. Sanctification, what Jesus is doing in you right now, the Holy Spirit. Salvation deals with the penalty of sin. I'm guilty. He paid the price. Sanctification deals with the power over sin. You have power over sin. I have good news for you. And I want to share this with you today. Christ died for us. Salvation. Sanctification, Christ lived in us. Hallelujah. Is Christ in you? Yes. By faith. Salvation is all by faith. Sanctification is by faith. And everybody, obedience. You are not a robot. And God is saying, now that you know what I've done for you, do you believe I'm in you to give you the power? Okay, are you now ready? All right. So the outline today is so simple. Winning the war within, right? Three main points that I want you to remember, winning the war. In chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Number one, everybody read, know your new life. Number two, know your new freedom. And then live out your new life. Very simple. So first, No, you got to know your new life, and then you got to know your new freedom, and then you live it out. Now, why is knowing so important? You cannot really change anybody until the mind is changed. Let me repeat. You cannot change your life until you have right thinking. Right thinking will produce what? Right behavior. So ignorance will result in impotence. You know, many Christians are ignorant. So there's no power. That's why Romans chapter 6 begins with the importance of you got to know your new life. Right? What do I mean, you got to know your new life? For example, let me share with you Romans, the outline of do you not know, do you not know? Look, everybody read. In chapter 6, look at the emphasis. Do you not know? In Tagalog, hindi mo ba alam? Knowing your old self was crucified. You got to know that Christ rose again. Do you not know? Do you not know? In fact, I want to show you the idea of God wants you to know you have died to your old life. You have new life. What's my proof? Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at all the verses dealing with you have died to your old life. Look at the chart. Everybody, this will shock you. In Romans chapter 6 alone, almost 10 times, huh? We who died, we were baptized into his death. We were buried with him through baptism into death. We became united with him in the likeness of his death. Our old man was crucified with him. He who has died is freed from sin. We have died. Consider yourself to be dead to sin. In other words, you have the repetition that God wants you to know you have died. Can you turn to your neighbor? Tell your neighbor, you have died. Huh? What does that mean, you have died? Peter, I'm so alive. Oh, no, no, no. Something spiritually happened. When you came to Christ, you died. What does that mean? He used baptism as an amazing illustration, all right? Let's look at the next verse, all right? Everybody read together. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Together. Do you not know the importance of knowledge? That all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. He is now giving baptism as an illustration of what happened to you when you gave your life to Jesus. In the early church, baptism is very important. Even today in CCF, baptism is important. We baptize people almost every month, okay? What does it mean? You see, baptism into Christ, baptism into his death, it is a picture, it's a symbol of dying to your old life. So when you are baptized, you are put inside the water, and then when you come out, it's newness of life. Do you know, in the early church, baptism is by immersion. It is not by sprinkling. Why? It's a picture of what has happened to you when you give your life to Christ. Now, baptism is from the literal Greek word baptisto. What is baptisto? Literally, baptisto means the following, all right? Immerse. So, everybody, what color is this? When you are baptized, you are literally submerged. The idea is you are immersed. The Greek word is used to describe how they dye the cloth. From something white, let's say I want to make it red, okay? Or red-orange. So what do? So I put it in. This is a picture of what? Baptism. You are now identified with Christ. So what is baptism? It is a picture of identification with Jesus. When Jesus died, you died. When he rose again from the dead, you rose again from the dead. It's hard to understand. But can I tell you something? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's read that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Everybody read. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things pass away. The new things have come. Look at the grammar here. If you are in Christ, you are a new person. Huh. Ladies, gentlemen, are you ashamed of your old life? When you look back, have you done something that is embarrassing, that is sinful? Well, I have done a lot. And many times, I'm ashamed. But I praise God. When you're in Christ, the Bible says your old life died. Now you have new life. Remember Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? Let's read that together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Together. I have been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Notice Paul is saying, I died with Christ. No longer I, but Christ. Is Paul still alive? Yes or no? Yes. But what is he saying? No longer I, but Christ. Can I tell you? I'm reminded of what happened to St. Augustine. Many of you know Augustine was a playboy. He was a womanizer. Then he came to Christ. When he came to Christ, something happened. A miraculous transformation happened in his life. When he went back to his place, there was this amazing, beautiful girl that used to have sex with Augustine. And she ran after him. Augustine, Augustine, do you remember me? Now, Augustine just walked past her. She said, maybe he has forgotten me. So she ran again. She ran again in front of him. Augustine, Augustine, do you remember me? This is my name. I am. And then Augustine said, I know you. I remember you. But it is no longer I. Augustine realized no longer old Augustine. He is now a new creation. So that, my friend, is something you need to know. When you come to Christ, all your past, finished. All your records, kept clean. Amen? Okay. Are you happy? So, today, sin will knock. Sin will come to you. Okay, okay. Let's do this. What must you now say? No longer I, but Christ. Next, you must know your new freedom. What do I mean? Let's look at the Bible. What does it mean, your new freedom? All right, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Tells us, if we have become united with Him, now the word united has the idea of grafting. Are you familiar with the agricultural term, you graft something in? That's the word here. You are grafted in Christ, with Christ. Together, please read aloud. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. You are no longer slaves to sin. What does it mean? It means in the past, you have no choice but to keep on sinning. Today, you have a choice to sin or not to sin. But you still have a choice. But you are no longer forced to sin. You see, in the past, my lifestyle was a lifestyle of sin. I came to Christ. And the Bible says your old life is gone. New life. So every day I'm given a choice. Ladies and gentlemen, every sin you commit is a choice that you are doing. You can never say, tao lamang ako eh. What is that in English? I'm only human. Excuse me, you are more than human. You are now a child of God. Amen? So remind yourself in the morning when you wake up, good morning, saint. Are you a saint? Are you free? Now, the problem is this. the more you give into sin, the more it becomes a habit. As this man once said, every time you give in to habit, it becomes a necessity. Every time you give in to something, it becomes a habit, then it becomes a necessity. And that's why many of us are in bondage, because you choose to be in bondage. Look at the next verse. I like the next verse. What does it say? Everybody read. For he who has died is freed from sin. You are free. If we have died with Christ, notice the emphasis, you have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. New life. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. The complete identification in the picture of baptism tells you something spiritual has happened which your eyes don't see. You are now united with Christ. You are set free. Last night, my wife and I, we were watching a short YouTube on billionaires, multi-billionaires who lost all their billions. And I'm curious, what happened? I like to learn from the past. Now, this guy is a true story. This guy, he's the duke, he's like the small king of the Netherlands, all right? Now, his brother did something bad. His younger brother, I call it coup d'etat, took over the throne. But his younger brother is very smart. His younger brother told the public, my older brother is not in prison. He can be free. In fact, he's free. You know why? They build a prison cell where the window is slightly smaller and the door is slightly smaller that a normal person can walk in and out. But the younger brother knows that his brother has a problem. This guy loves to eat. So what he did, when he put his brother inside that prison where the door is enough for normal people, but this guy cannot walk through. You know why? He's overweight. So what the brother did is give him food every day, lots of good food. And this brother loved to eat. He kept eating and eating. Instead of losing weight, what happened? He kept gaining weight. For 10 years, this guy was in prison by himself. You know why? He refused to fast and pray. Doesn't know how to reduce. And I realize many Christians are like that. You give in to your lust, you give in to your appetite, and you become a prisoner of yourself. The Bible says you now have new freedom. You know how he got out of jail? Okay, study history. I won't tell you now. Right? But the point is this. Guys, are you free? Louder. But can you become a slave again? Yes, you choose. You know, years ago, during the trial about the Nazi soldiers, are you familiar with what happened to Germany, right? The Nazi, they have nice uniform. Hitler was very smart. He gave his officers a special uniform. Now, these guys were put on trial. Why? Because of the atrocity they committed. Remember how they burned the Jews? So you need witnesses. So there were a group of Jews who were there. They survived the imprisonment, and they are now witnesses in the court trial. Now, when this Nazi officer were brought into the court, guess what happened? All the Jews stood up. And the judge said, why are you standing up? This Nazi officer has no power over you. Sit down. In Tagalog, relax lang. May katatayo. Why are you saluting them? Out of habit. And friends, when sin knocks in your life, please don't salute. As is. And tell the sin, you have no power over me. I am a child of God. Amen? Last, not only do you have new freedom, for the first time, if you read the next verse, it's amazing. Look at Romans chapter 6, okay? So look at the outline. You have new life, know your new life. You must know your new freedom. And lastly, what must you do? Live out your new life. What does it mean? Let's look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? The death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Therefore, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word consider is a verb, imperative. For the first time in the book of Romans, chapter 6, you are given a command regarding what to do. In chapter 1 to chapter 5, everything is about what God has done for us. In chapter 6, the grammar changes. Here is the beginning of the command. Consider. The word consider is the idea of appropriate. Leave it out. It's like a check. If I give you a check and you don't encash it, it's totally useless. The Bible is saying consider. In other words, leave it out. You are free. Leave it out. Encash it. Next verb. Therefore, everybody read, do not let sin reign in your body, in your mortal body. This is a command. So for the first time in the book of Romans, you are now given instructions. Consider yourself dead to sin. That's the reality. You may not feel it, but the Bible says you are dead to sin. Number two, do not present. The word present grammatically means they are already presenting their body to sin. It says here, but do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin. Stop presenting your body to sin. Stop it. It's a command. You see, the body is neutral. The body is not evil. But you have an evil nature, a sin nature that tries to control you. And Paul is saying, stop giving in to your evil, sinful nature. Stop doing that. Do not present. Now, I like the word present. You know why? Notice, present yourselves to God. This is an amazing Greek word, present. It is used to describe how a best man will present a beautiful bride to the bridegroom, certifying she is a virgin. That's the idea of present. It's used in Jewish wedding, where the best man will not present the bride. The Bible is saying, you are a new person. You must present your life to the Lord, not to sin. Look at the grammar. Look at what it says here. Everybody, but present yourselves to whom? To God, as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What the Bible is saying is, you have a new master, not the law. You see, the law brings condemnation. Every time you fail, you feel so bad. I have good news for you. God is saying, all of us are no longer under the law, but under grace. What is true grace? Grace will bring about sanctification. Grace will never abuse the forgiveness of God. Something happened. Therefore, you present. Let me give you an example. I read the story of a king who fell in love with a prostitute. The prostitute, you know their job, to have sex with any man who is willing to pay. When the king married the prostitute, I want to ask you a question. Do you think the prostitute will ever prostitute herself again to other men? No. You know why? She is now a queen. A queen do not prostitute herself to anybody because she is now a queen. Now, how do you look at yourself? Prostitute or queen? My friend, how do you look at yourself? Instrument of sin or instrument of righteousness? My friend, you need to know. To live a holy life, you need to know what God has done for us. Number one, God gave us a new life. Number two, God gave us a new freedom. Why do you want to enslave yourself? That's why the Bible is very emphatic when it tells us the idea of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 17. Let's read this together. Together now. Walk by the Spirit. Walk. It's a command. Present tense. You keep walking with the Lord. Walk by the Spirit. And what's the promise? You will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You see, the flesh, the sinful nature is real. Please read the next verse. Flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. That's why winning the war within, you have to recognize there's a war going on. But you don't have to be defeated. You are victorious. You know why? Christ is in us. Is Christ in you? Okay, walk by the Spirit. To share with you the reality of the power of Christ in us, I'd like you to hear the testimony for brother, how it became so true in his life. Let's welcome Tony.
Good day, everyone. My name is Tony De La Paz. Many years ago, I was an insecure person with no purpose in life. I sought solace in the highs of drugs and in the momentary pleasures of vices, which stripped me of my inhibitions. I started doing drugs at the age of 13 and was an addict for 15 years. It was at a very low point in my life when God first found me. With no money, no friends, I heard the good news of salvation from a television program, and I prayed to receive Jesus Christ in my heart. The apparent spiritual awakening made me sober for the next 3 months, but the transformation was short-lived because I clearly was not committed to Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Soon after, I was back to being wayward. Even after being taken to custody at Camp Karame, I went deeper to drug abuse. The downward spiral made me miserable and hopeless. It came to a point of deep depression and wanted to take my own life. Realizing my helpless, wretched, and despondent condition, I sincerely prayed and cried out to God for help, acknowledging that I am powerless to change my life and surrendering everything to Him. I cannot forget that very moment when a gust of wind blew around me as if freeing my very soul of all its burdens and struggles and experiencing peace that surpasses all understanding. God removed my desire for drugs and replaced it with a deep thirst for Him and His Word. But God's divine orchestration, I attended a Sunday service in CCF where I saw my brother whom I love and had not seen for a long time. The message spoke to me and was affirmed by the pastor as he shook my hands to welcome me. Life was slowly turning around. God helped me find a job despite my lack of credentials. I was sober and eagerly shared the gospel to office mates. God also blessed me with a promotion and improved living conditions. One time, I was invited by my boss to an after-office drinking spree. At first, I resisted, but eventually gave in, and it became a regular Friday night out. Admittedly, I had become complacent, self-sufficient, and proud. One sin led to another. I found myself in sexual immorality with my girlfriend, which in turn brought us to a rocky start of our married life. But God faithfully disciplined me to get me back on track. One Friday night out, I suddenly felt my arms numbing and my chest tightening up. I was turning pale and felt close to dying. I felt like my body was shutting down. In my heart, I cried out to God in repentance, pleading for another chance. That night was a turning point when I repented of my sins and dedicated my life to Christ. It was timely that we were invited to a discipleship group by my sister-in-law and her husband. Friday night outs were replaced by Friday D group. Eventually, I was entrusted to lead this D group when my brother-in-law moved to another country. Over time, the D group evolved with new members, and I continued to be its D group servant. God also opened opportunities to conduct Bible studies at work and in offices where others would invite me. Time came when I was forced to resign from my job when I would not compromise over a policy that would make me lie in my dealings with clients. My unemployment tested my faith, but God made me see how faithful He was to provide for my family. I later volunteered to help in a support group for people struggling with addictions. Later on, I was given the chance to work in Penuel Home, a retreat house for men struggling with all sorts of addictions. Since 2007, many residents have gone through the Bible-based, God-centered program which transformed them and their families through the saving knowledge of Christ. Another opportunity that I had been privileged with is to serve at our CCF Katipunan Satellite with my wife and children. My heart is full of gratitude for the Lord, for what He has done and continues to do in my life. It is Jesus Christ who made the greatest impact in my life. And by His grace, He's using me to impact the lives of others. All glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
So my question to you today, number one, have you experienced a new life in Christ? Do you understand your new life? Have you experienced your new freedom? I want you to live it out. Christ is in us. Amen? However, if you don't have Christ, you have religion, it's not going to do good. How do you know whether you have religion or you have Christ? Very simple. Look at your life. Have you seen changes in your life? If there are no changes in your life, I can almost predict what you have is religion. I praise God. This country, we're religious. Maybe you grew up in a Christian family. You have Bible study. And in your mind, I know that already. Yeah, I have Jesus. Excuse me. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. However, what are we talking about? A real relationship. New life in Christ. Like metamorphosis. You are transformed within. And then the outward appearance changes. Don't get it wrong. You need Jesus. And how do you have Jesus? When you humble yourselves and admit you are a sinner. And you come to Jesus with no mental reservation. You never come to Jesus with condition. I will obey you everything except. Cannot. When you come to Jesus, I surrender all. No exception. No matter what it takes, I will surrender you. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I need you. I have been playing religion. There has been no transformation. I still live in sin, but I want to change. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Give me the new heart that you promise, the new nature that you promise. Lord, change me from the inside out. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Tony. I thank you for my brother, for his humility to confess how he was into drugs, but how you have changed him. Keep him in the center of your will. Keep him walking with you. I pray for Chuck. I pray for his son Matthew, who is here also, and the family, that you protect this family. And now I pray for the people here, those of us who are struggling with sin, but their sin may not be drug addiction. It may be pornography. It may be anger. It may be temper. Whatever it is, pride, judgmental spirit, Lord Jesus, may you transform their lives, their heart. I thank you, Lord, for you are in us to transform us and to change us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.